Ian Pickus here in the Congressional Corner with Republican U.S. Senate candidate Mike Sapricone. He's running for the seat held by Democrat Kirsten Gillibrand. Republicans are on a long losing streak in statewide elections in New York, and he wants to be the one to break that streak. All right, let me ask you some things about the fall elections. You are, as you say, a retired New York City police officer. You had a long career in law enforcement. I think we went over this last time, but here's a question for you. You're supporting President Trump. He's supporting you. He is a convicted felon. Do you find that incongruous?
That's a big word, incongruous. So I don't want.
Does it make sense?
Well, you know what? He is a convicted felon. It is what it is. I don't necessarily think the things he's convicted of would be fair. I think I might have mentioned this last time. I think if he
that was before he had been convicted.
Correct. But I think I may have mentioned that I think if he had not been the president of the United States, I think some of these things would never have come out, he would have never been tried on some of these things. You know, as a business person in New York, it concerned me. And we talked about that earlier on when I was here last time about what I did as a business person. And I explained what my motives were for doing different things and contributions and things. I think as a business, I think we're going to lose business in New York by seeing what the attorney general did to him as far as prosecution and seeing what the city of New York has done to him as far as prosecution is concerned. I think that's a concern here for business. I understand he's a convicted felon. There's no denying that. And that doesn't matter what's going to happen in an appeal or anything else. Everybody, it's like when you go into court and you spurt something out on the stand, it doesn't matter that someone stands up and says, strike that from the record. It's always there on the record, right? People are always going to believe that. So if his things,
I mean, a jury of his peers found him guilty.
Well, Manhattan's a tough place to have a jury of peers for Republicans. It is, but it's true. That's the way our Constitution is, and we all need to go both our Constitution. That's what we have. That's how our democracy is. That's how we survive. So I'm not going to deny that he's convicted. It's as simple as that. Do I agree with the conviction? No. Do I think that he was unlawfully convicted? I think about some things. I certainly do.
What about a separate case? You're a Law and Order guy.
Okay.
He's facing indictments for mishandling classified documents, which is not something you should do. He's also facing indictments for actively trying to overturn the result of the last election. So how do you square your background your support for someone who is, you know, if the situation were different, this might be a guy that you'd put cuffs on.
Okay, so let's take those two incidents. So we talked about the thing about January 6th here first, and you asked me if I thought there were anybody being held hostage, and I disagreed.
Right.
They convicted, they should be in jail. I don't think he tried to overturn the government. Okay, it's as fair as any election ever was. Okay, and I think we have to go back a lot of years and we would see a lot of different stuff going on.
Well, that's not what he says. He says it wasn't fair.
Well, I'm saying it turned out it's a fair election.
Okay.
President Biden was the president. He won. Okay, and now we're looking towards the future. But when you talk about, I lost my train of thought. What was the first?
Well, I asked you about the indictment on classified documents and also on the overturning of the election, which was a multi-state effort, really.
No, I understand that. And everything seems to be a multi-state effort lately. But if you look at the thing with the documents, let's look at Biden had the same type of situation in his home in Delaware, right? And a separate special prosecutor found that he was— really, it wasn't his fault because they didn't even want to try him because they didn't think he would do well on the stand. That's kind of ridiculous.
But they also found that he did not willfully retain the documents, have an aide move them to a different part of Mar-a-Lago. I mean, he did say that Biden would not be a credible person to put on the stand because he was forgetful.
I think, and there's no denying that this was a wrong thing to do, okay? I can't say to you that the president felt he had the right to move those documents. I don't think either president, Biden or Trump, thought they had the right to move them. I think they both did something that was probably wrong to do. Nobody's been convicted of this yet. I think that was wrong to do. But I kind of question, I wonder how many presidents in the past have been doing this and why all of a sudden were we concentrating on what Donald Trump did? And then because of what Donald Trump did, then somebody turned and said, well, we should look what Biden did with this. I think we're picking, and these are important issues. They're not important issues. But I think we've gotten away from governing and worrying about what we need to do in this country to make the people who vote for us
to govern them, right? I mean, we're getting crazy. I mean, with different things. We're not thinking about issues. There's issues. There's problems in this country. There's economy. There's inflation, economy, cost of living, crime, illegal immigration. These are things that are going on that are important. I think we're looking for little things to hurt the other side, both sides. And I think it's we step up and start governing. I think that's what we need to do. And I think we lack that. And I think that's part of common sense here. And I think that's what's so important in this country. And I think we need to get back that way. I think it's important to work together. We don't work together. I know I'm ranting and raving here with you, but you know, when I was—
I've heard ranting and raving on this show. This isn't it.
When I was a youngster, okay, no one ever said to me, hey, what party do you belong to? No one ever said that. You know, we talked, we argued about different feelings about different ways we look, but no one ever got mad because I was a Republican or you were a Democrat. You know, and D'Amato, I always talk about D'Amato, my friend, and the last time we had a Republican senator in this state 26 years ago.
A Long Island guy.
A Long Island guy, that's right, whose office happens to be next door to my office when I had my company, Squad Security. But he always said him and Ted Kennedy would go on the floor and fight like cats and dogs over policies. And then they go out and have a cigar or dinner or something. And they were friends. We don't do that anymore. I mean, we don't do that anymore. I've had people at fairs say to me, I start off by saying, hi, I'm Mike Sapricone, the Republican candidate for the United States Senate. I'm not talking to you. And what I enjoy and what I've found has been really good, I'll say, well, wait a minute. I hate the president. I hate who's running for president on both sides. Okay, so I say, stop the talk at the top of the ticket right now. I said, we could talk about where we were better off 4 years ago or we're not. We could argue about that forever, okay? I think we weren't. I think we were better off 4 years ago. But let me ask you, do you know who I'm running against? No, I have no idea. Well, let's talk about that. Wouldn't it be good if you vetted me before you say you won't even talk to me, if you understand what I stand for and what I care about in this state, in this country? And my opponent, who may not even know who that is, okay? Wouldn't it be fair if you looked that up and did some research before you say, I won't talk to you? And you know what? 99% of those people stop and talk to me for 5 minutes. And then we laugh. And I had one guy say to me, it's the best conversation I ever had with a Republican in my life. And to me, that's great. That's great. Now, he may not vote for me. I don't know if he'll vote for me, but at least he knew a little bit about me. At least he was reasonable, and he cares about this country too, just like I did. And I think that's what's important. You need to get people to engage, right? Not just say, you're a Republican, I'm not talking to you. You're a Democrat, walk away from me. People need to engage, and I'm enjoying that. I think I'm getting my message out to people. And look, issues are important. There's no question about that, okay? But it's also important to be able to interact with people and let people know how you feel and how you care and where you stand. And I think that's what generates respect. That's what generates the opportunity to change this state and this country. I think people need change. And I think people want to engage. I think sometimes people just want you to listen to them. Now, I'm a big talker. You've seen that, Ian, already, right? but people sometimes just want you to listen. And I'm having a really good time just listening to what people think, you know, and what their issues are in the Rust Belt or what their issues are in downstate or up on the border, in the northern border, and the problems up there. So to me, that's all good stuff. I'm getting my message across. I think there's a great opportunity. I think I have a great opportunity to win the Senate seat in this state. And I think I'm finding people behind me, no matter what party they're from.
Let me ask you this before we wrap up today's segment. You've been successful in life, no question about it. You mentioned
your company,
Squad Security. Your financial disclosures showed that you're a multimillionaire.
I am.
Does that put you out of touch with average New Yorkers that you've been meeting?
Oh, I think that's great. I'm a kid from Queens, grew up in a one-bedroom apartment. Okay, worked three jobs to get my kids through college as a cop, started my own business. I am the American dream. I'm the little kid from Queens who's the American dream. And people should strive and to do that. That's what this country's about. That's the opportunity. There's no other dream. There's not the European dream. There's not the Asian dream. There's the American dream. And I am that American dream. But why? Because my parents taught me to have good morals. My parents taught me to work hard. Sure, you're going to fail at things. But by failing, you learn and you do better. I've taught my kids it's important to care and to enjoy what you're doing. And I've always cared. I've always enjoyed what I'm doing. I think it just helps me. My police background helps me. My business background probably helps me more because I understand what it is to employ people. I understand what it is to tell my family, listen, we're not going to be able to take a paycheck this week because I've got employees that I have to pay. And if I can't pay those employees, I have no business. And if I have no business, we'll have a harder life. So you need to work hard, work with people. I think it's perfect. Because it's true. Everything I say is true about how hard I worked and how I built my business and how much I care about people and this state and this country.
Mike Sapercone is the Republican candidate for U.S. Senate in New York. That seat is currently held by Democrat Kirsten Gillibrand. And when we come back the next time, Mike, we're going to have to do a lightning round. There's a lot more to talk about.
Thank you, sir.